Amen.
So in the morning we spoke about how Jesus talked.
Is it me or I'm hearing myself somehow? It's me, eh?
Okay, just try to add something, I don't know. So, Jesus taught, and we picked a leaf from Luke chapter 24. He met his disciples. The first part we dealt with was when he met Cleopas and another disciple. Not really volume, but... And he told them, "O fools and slow of heart, to believe all the prophets have spoken, all that the Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory." Now later, from verse 44, or a bit above, maybe 40 and so on, he came to his own disciples, the 11. And he came through the room, he just entered the hall, and they were scared, and he asked them to eat. And he told them, "These are the things which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled," Luke 24:44, "which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me." Now, he said, "The things which I said unto you." So what Jesus said in his resurrection, he had also said when he's still alive. The people just hadn't connected them yet. So it's not like God speaks differently at specific times. Like you say, in the Old Testament, God was something. And then in the New Testament, he started to speak somehow. But he said, "These are things which I said unto you." And then he goes ahead to say, "But it's not just things I'm saying unto you, but these are things that are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets." Paul too spoke of the disciple, of the gospel which he taught. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 1, but specifically verse 3 and verse 4. And he told them, "The gospel I preached unto you," about verse 2, "which you have believed, wherein you stand, unless you have believed in vain." And he said that, "I've delivered to you that which I also received, that how Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures." So the message that Paul taught was also a message according to the scriptures. Romans chapter 1, verse 4, he speaks about Jesus Christ declared to be a son of God, according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Verse 2, the gospel which was promised aforetime, by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. What they mean by that is that the gospel which I preach unto you, this is Paul, we call the Revelator. He says, "What I teach and what I preach is what was spoken about aforetime." So, in other words, the prophets prophesied this message aforetime. So, the writings that you have from Genesis to Malachi are written prophecies. What you have from Genesis to Malachi are written prophecies. Now, who is a prophet? These days, the meaning of the word prophet has changed in our world. Now, I was telling you how we interpret the scriptures earlier in the morning. And I told you that the scriptures, Genesis to Revelation, were not originally written in English. In fact, if you go to Marseille, the Bible you read will be in French. And it's still the word of God. So, what do we do? Because when you're coming from one language to another, sometimes the language that receives may not have the diction, the vocabulary, or may not bring out exactly what is spoken or what is intended by the original author. So what we do, we go back to the original author and find out the words they used and the meanings of those words to find out what those authors meant. And let me tell you, this goes for every word in the Bible. There is no word in the Bible for which God has monopoly. Even the word God. Even the word Jehovah. Okay? So, for instance, God reveals himself, or before, God reveals himself to the men, and they say, "This is Almighty God." Why are we calling him Almighty God? Because the one he has revealed himself to, who penned what you have like in Genesis, Exodus, called him Almighty. No wonder. When Moses said, "If I go to rescue the people and they ask me, which God has sent you, what do you tell them?" "I am that I am." What name is that one? Anybody called I am here? You say, because you cannot give God a name.
Giving God a name means you restrict him to that. Now, they called Jesus, Jesus, why? Because that is Yeshua or Jehovah shall save. Because he will save his people from their sins. So they called him Jesus. But Jesus is not his identity. That's why you have a football player in Man City called Jesus. And God has not struck him down for what? Blasphemy. And some of you are called Joshua. Joshua is Jesus. It's the same name. So, but because they seek God, that's why when Abraham is at Moriah, Genesis 22, he says Jehovah Jireh. Why? Because he saw a ram trapped in the thicket and he was just about to offer his own son. Then he says, this is Jehovah Jireh, because in that place the Lord shall see ahead and make a provision. So what you said, Jehovah provider. But the one who is the revelator of that name, Abraham, he's saying he has provided himself. He says, God shall provide himself a lamb for burnt sacrifice. Why? Because Isaac, when they are going to worship, which is the original mention also of worship, when they are going to worship, he told Abraham was with Isaac and Eliezer, his servant. But they reached the mountain, he said, stay here while me and the lad go yonder to worship. Now, the meaning of the word worship is not singing. No, we do praise and worship. What is the difference? Worship is silent praise, or is soft. That's why you come from a song. Tunakuwachife, abana wabantu, lokudakuzingyanga nokutenenge nakuzona. Tunakuwachife. Hati, how much you get it? Am I lying? Because we think the difference between praise and worship is tempo. You say, praise is first worship. All the people say, worship is the one where you cry. Praise is one where you sweat. Onaga, 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 onaga. Is it working? But no. Worship means to serve, actually. Worship means, now, in the English, it would mean to prostrate, to serve, to bow down. That is a basic word. But in usage, worship was actually used for offerings in the temple. That's why in Hebrews chapter 10, when the writer of Hebrews was explaining worship, he said the offerings which could not make the worshipper perfect. The offerings could not make the worshipper. Because in worship there is an offering. So this is what would happen. They would go to Jerusalem on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover and Pentecost, and they would go to worship. This is why Jesus had that discourse with the woman at the well. You Jews say in Jerusalem is the place to worship, because it was in Jerusalem you take the offerings to be offered for your sins. And Jesus told her, a time is coming, Kalabuzaba, where neither in this mountain nor in the other mountain shall you worship. But the worshippers, what? Because their offering now has been offered by one, Jesus Christ. So they shall worship in spirit, and that is truth. So the worship in spirit is the reality. So it's not you bring these offerings, but this man, Jesus, has now become that one offering for sin once and for all. So that you and me now become true worshippers as an identity. So now Paul will tell you, lift up holy hands. The hands now become holy because the worshipper is sanctified. In the Old Testament, they would bring the worship, the offering for what? For sanctification. Jesus becomes our offering so that we become sanctified. And we become what? True worshippers. So the words, when you see words like that in the Bible, you must go back and see, how was this word used? What was the implication of this word? Many of these words we have modernized and Englishized. And most times, because we don't get what was originally spoken, we can't find the original meaning. So, we teach the Bible. So, this is what Jesus did in Luke chapter 24. Okay, he expounded law of Moses, the Psalms, and the Scriptures. He explained the cross. So, what there is, the menu, expounded. The effect of that is now that their understanding was opened, and they were able to understand the Scriptures. And what was the first understanding? Something happened to their mindset, and they were able to put the Scriptures together. So in Jesus' Bible study, we recognize that when you're going to deal with the Bible, you must take it together. Now imagine you took John chapter 4, worship and the woman, and you just took it there. You know you will never understand the truth about true worship. You think, are you a true worshipper? Who is a true worshipper? The one who squints his face. But it's really an identity. Truth is reality. Aletheia. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Praise the God. So when we're in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 7, let's continue from there. Now, what Nehemiah did, rather, Ezra was the scribe here, right? What Ezra did is what Jesus did on the road to Emmaus. He said, he caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Let's take verse 8 also. What does verse 8 say? So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Just change that into NLT and I show you what he did. They read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping people to understand each passage. Remember, these guys were coming from Babylon. In Babylon, they were not reading the Torah. So they didn't know what these things mean. Two, the generation which was born now could not even read Hebrew. And these writings are in Hebrew. So the teacher, the pastor, the minister, the one who stands before people to open the Bible did this. He explained the meaning. And what happened? Then the people understood each passage. Now the response we spoke about in the morning of how they cried was because meaning was. In other words, also in Luke chapter 24, the same scriptures that these Jews were reading, and they had never cut their hearts. The guys who had gathered around when the disciples were speaking in tongues, they were reading because Peter taught from Psalm 16 and he taught from Joel 2. He also taught maybe from Deuteronomy. They were reading these things. They had never cut them. Why? Because nobody had ever caused them to understand. In Acts chapter 8, an Ethiopian eunuch, a man who was very, very zealous, he came from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to fulfill a feast. That man was zealous. The same way we leave Uganda to go to Israel to see the Holy Land. Isn't it? And he even was doing devotion in his chariot. Isaiah 53, at least 3 years, he was taken like a sheep led to the shear. Then the Spirit of the Lord led Philip there. Philip, like a good teacher, asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he answered very well. Many of us should give that answer. He said, "How now? How can I understand except someone help me?" You're right. You can't understand except someone helps you. And I am going to dare say, that person is not the Holy Spirit. You can't understand except someone. No, me I can't. It's okay. Do you know? Jesus gave men the Holy Spirit. Then he also went ahead to give them teachers. Why? Anybody know the answer to that? Just go home and seek God on your own. Like we say, seek God on what? So you do your church in your bedroom. You do your prayers in your bedroom, which are not bad, but you never congregate with anyone because God is in all of us. Not so. Jesus left us ministers to explain to us. The ministers he left were ministers he explained to. And the ones they explained to us. So that we also explain to others. Who will explain to? You know that's how revelation is passed along, I hope. Eh? If a person stands up and says, no one has taught me, be very careful. Someone once said, if no one has taught you, why should anyone listen to you? Let all of us also be on our own. Hey. Not so. I'm just thinking. Can you think along with me? If you are not taught, why are you teaching me? Even me, let me learn on what? So that we complete the cycle of personal education. So the scribe, who is a teacher, calls the people to understand. Now every preacher, every person, every evangelist, when you go out on evangelism, custodia your Bible, unless it is a Quran. Once you get out the Bible, you must cause whoever you're talking to understand. That's why the Bible has figures of speech. Because they want the people they are talking to what? Uh-huh. Are we clear? It's the Bible. Bible is not mystical. So, words like that in the Bible can have different meanings that require interpretation. In interpretation number one, we have to find out the language of the author. You come from the language of the author, like we are doing Greek Hebrew. Then number two, you look for, this is how you go ahead to understand the Bible. You look for what is common between the audience of the author and you currently. This is where you want to apply the word. What do I mean? Like, we had an example from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, right? It was a case of submission, right? But you may not see submission straightforward. What do you see? You see, cover your head, cover your hair. Is it hair or head? Cover your hair if you're a woman. And if you're a man, don't cover your hair. Or don't have long hair. Women should have long hair. Right? So now, touch your head and say, I am not from Corinth. The truth is, when Paul wrote the letter to Corinth, he didn't have you in mind. If we are being honest, right? He wrote the letter to the who? Now, some atheists have used this argument to say the Bible is outdated. But before you jump on their side, first wait. Remember we said there is theology and there is history. And we said there is theology in history. And history in theology. What is the history? The culture of that day at Corinth is women cover their what? And we don't. I'll give you another example. In the Bible times, Paul signs off his letter saying, give each other a holy kiss. Can we practice that scripture? Remember the days when Pastor Ronald will say, give each other a holy kiss. Now, it is actually a holy kiss. It's not interpretation, it is what? Because it's a method of greeting. I think also in France they do. Yeah, those ones, eh? Because it's culture. Now, before you come to apply and start kissing people's wives, you ask yourself a question. What did Paul intend to pass across when he said holy kiss? Brotherly affection. So, the theology there is brotherly affection. Loving one another. So how do I bring loving one another from that generation to this one? This generation, it involves sending a WhatsApp or mobile money. Yes. That is, yes. Mobile money is brotherly love. Like if you love me enough, I'm going to take off. You see, so you have to interpret something. You may just go to church and say, beautiful sister, and say, welcome. That's how. Amen. There is a history. So what is common in those different audiences? We bring what is common and then we find out what can be used for us. Now Paul used this in writing his books. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he will pick out a scenario in the book of Numbers. Let's just read through and see what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he was talking about that generation which died. They didn't eat of the spiritual drink. The rock which was following them, Numbers 20 verse 8. And then he said in verse 5, with many of them God was not pleased, right? Then he said these were examples. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 6. So this is what can be common between what happened in Numbers. Now you know in Numbers, they got their gold. I don't know if we can make a calf in this place. No, I've not seen gold. So anyway, everybody brought the ornaments they had on. Maybe women had earrings, men had watches. They iron-burnt it and created a golden calf. And then they went and worshipped the calf like it is the one which what? Delivered them from bondage. And that was called idolatry. So there was a meat, a calf. I can't do idolatry. But you see, what is the lesson in that? That there was something that they esteemed above God and they worshipped. Today it can be your car. Your phone can be idolatry. Your damsel can be idolatry. Especially before you are married. And they may tell, you know you are in idolatry. And say, no! In my whole house there is no single art piece. I don't kneel down before anything, but you're doing broad daylight idolatry. Why? Because there are things that have taken the place of God in your life, and those are idols. So the lesson in Numbers can be applied for you. So Paul is saying, these things are like examples. So you see, what was he trying to teach them? What is the theology? So in my world today, how can I teach this to the people? So that if I'm explaining to people, I may not use golden calves. Like now I can say, social media. How had I skipped social? Do you know there are some of you who can't stay one day of social media? And you think you are not under attack? No, seriously. Okay. If you think you can, you do it. One day. No, was the other day, was it Instagram which crashed and the world melted? Before a few hours. Instagram. That is the app which never kills my time. My wife gets my Instagram. He said, "Yo, Instagram is boring. It has basketball only." I told her the way you use Instagram, I can never use it like this. You see stories. What? Those things, sometimes I don't think they are to be viewed. The same way I look at WhatsApp statuses. Is a challenge for me to go through statuses. I understand there are people who, when those statuses are unread, they feel like someone is crawling on them. But there are people like that. Like, they feel like, read it. There are people like that. Like, if you have not gone through it, I will read it. That is idolatry. One of the things I usually do is this. I have moments in my life where I take away things I love to show them that I'm still in control. Yes. So at any time I can kill anything and then pick it up again and I remind it, you don't own me. Yes. The hardest may be Steph Curry. But even him, I want to deal with him. Amen. I love that man. But that can be idolatry. You fail to come to church because of something. That is an idol. You don't want to hear it. I know. So how is idolatry applied in our day? Like that. Amen. Some people, someone lives your life. I mean you are chucked. Not divorced. Chucked. You quit ministry. You quit salvation. You throw out all your friends. You start harassing us on your status. It doesn't matter what I go through. God will... You harass... Because of one character like this. You become a philosopher. You get coach. How can a boy or a girl? I remember the time they chucked me. I moved on that day. That one. I said, yeah, it's over. Oh, okay. Like for real, over yet. Done. Finished. No comeback. I said, okay. Continue with church. Continue. You don't. A human being who is not God is holding your soul. You fail to sleep. You can't fail to sleep because souls are not saved. Because your disciples are not growing. It doesn't bother you. Nay, because they did post you on there on your birthday. No zimba. No tugurara. Otrule tugenda. That is proof of what holds your heart. Don't look no further. Don't do a fast. Don't go to a prophet. Is that one. When such things happen, that is the idol. So deal with it. Amen. If you want to marry someone, what is the word? Normalize telling people that I love God more than you. Are you can marry a woman who found you loving God and seeking God. Then she sees you praying and she looks at you like, you are leaving me here. What do you mean? What do you mean I'm leaving you here? Didn't you find God here? Amen. So make sure people know you love God. For me, nobody can be close to me. And we're not going after this thing like this. I don't have people who are close to me in Gawia. I don't mean they are born again. No. Born again, no. Born again, anybody can be born again. I mean going after God. Zealous. Because where will you find me? Monday morning I'm calling my pastor. I call pastor to just encourage him because Mondays are a drag for him. So I told him I'm in the ministry of encouragement. I'm here to support you. So I usually call him, my pastor usually call him Monday mornings and I encourage him. Monday is a gift from God. By the way, what pastor doesn't know is this. And for people who I'm teaching on Wednesday, I'll teach you this when it comes to the leading of the Spirit. I talk to my pastor because I'm trying to catch God's leading. So we'll be talking, but my spiritual senses are alert. I know he can mention anything which is the word of God to me. So I'll engage him. He will talk. Many things I've prayed about. Pastor, he knows. There is rarely anything I do which is significant without telling pastor. If pastor tells me don't do it, I don't do it. He's here, he's my witness. Then pastor, this thing he said, do A, B, C, D. Very respectfully. I tell him, okay. I hear God. I say, God has told me. My pastor prays. No. Pastor Wange Musavi. But I also know God speaks through men, especially men who are over you. That one is for someone. It's not part of this. So, some of you make decisions and come to inform the men over you. And it's what is interesting. People come to tell you what they are doing. And it's like they also want an opinion. Somehow. Like I was praying to go, then the Lord just told me, so I've just decided I'm going to go and, you know, they talk and say, okay. Then like, yeah, that is it. Apostle, what do you think? You, God told you, you heard, you smelled, you... How can I interfere with what God told you? So when you reach and you knock your leg, you say, you see? Don't go to your pastor. If you want help, don't go to your pastor to tell him what you've decided. Say what you think, what you want to do, and see. That is wisdom. Amen. Please. Before I got married, I'd spoken to my now wife for only 2 weeks, and I told her I'm going to marry. Actually, I told her on the first day, but she first joked around. Then I told her, I am taking you to my pastor. If pastor doesn't like you, she told me, I told her that if pastor doesn't like you, we are done. Can you imagine who does that? After 2 weeks, we were gone. I said, Pastor, the girl is here. Katigwamani. Pastor, now kwa kwambwati. And Mama is also prophetic. Now, so when we left, I said, Pastor, what do you think? He said, Kali. How to simbule. Now you've courted for 2 years. You are now bringing. You want to say your pastor is one who split you. That, see, there are people who come, there are people who are in a relationship, and you prepare to counsel them. The people they have chosen, you just prepare what? You prepare a seat, you prepare a room, and how you will help them. You say, hey, God, to gain. You just be there, but you know, somewhere, there is room for. You now come to pastor, you cry, and pastor will say, but it's good to trust God, you know, be patient. We also have those words. But you don't have to get there. So there can be words like that. For instance, let me just deal with this word. Prophets. Prophets. When we say prophets in our world today, we mean a seer, right? A seer. It's not wrong. We just mean a seer. So when you find a word like prophet like that, again, because it's not necessarily speaking about an English word, you go to the Bible to see how the word prophet was used. As a matter of fact, you go to the first time the word prophet was used. And that's why theologians came up with what is called the law of first mention. The first time something was mentioned speaks a whole lot about what it means. If I ask you a question, who was the first prophet in the Bible? Just randomly, just shout out some names you think. Who was the first prophet? Mom, you guys are deep. Who was the first prophet? Among the other people who are. Yes, sir. Abraham. Abraham is good. Who was the first prophet? Anybody? Adam? Eve? Even come judges. So now let's just track the word prophet. Now, I hope you know Jesus was a prophet. Acts 3:22. But Acts 3:22 was a reference from Deuteronomy 18. So let me start from Deuteronomy 18. Prophet. Speaking of Jesus as a prophet. But now this is Moses speaking prophetically. So this is where you can know Moses was a prophet. So Moses was a prophet. However, when they are classifying prophets in the Old Testament, rather in the New Testament books, they don't call Moses a prophet. They separate him. They say the law of Moses and the prophets. Even though Moses was a prophet. Now that in itself is instructive. If Moses was a prophet, and we don't exactly see him as a seer, who is a prophet? Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses said this, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto whom you shall hearken. Verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. Please note that. I'll raise a prophet, and I'll put my words in his, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command. So the prophet is a speaker of God's word. From here. Right? Hello, stay with me, right? So the prophet there will be a speaker of God's word. Now, the first mention of the word prophet was for Abraham in Genesis 22. Let's read it. Genesis 22 verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his... No, this is Genesis 20. It should be 20. Yeah, Genesis 20 verse 7. Now therefore, this is Abimelech. Now when Abraham went into that place where he said Sarah is his sister, and the king Abimelech took Sarah. Okay? So at night, Abimelech had a dream, and there was a warning in that dream. Okay? God told him, therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. So Abraham was a prophet. So this is first mention. First mention may not necessarily mean that he was the first prophet. Why are people saying Abel was the first prophet? They're saying Abel is the first prophet because Luke 11:49, Jesus said that. Luke 11:49. Are we there? Therefore, said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, that is from the beginning, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel. So Abel was a prophet. So, but also we see that Abel too was sent by God. So Abel also had the words of God. I know the Abel, you know, is the one who had an animal and blood. Right? But he's saying of this Abel that he was a prophet. So who is the prophet according to the Old Testament? Because that's where the word starts from. In Exodus chapter 7, should I read from chapter 4? Let's go to Exodus. Look at who a prophet is before I explain. Now, the Hebrew word for prophet is Nabi. In Luganda, Nabi. So, you know why they say Nabi. Because the Hebrew is Nabi. N-A-B-I. Exodus. Let's read Exodus chapter 7. No, verse. Let me start from 4. Exodus chapter 4, verse 15. So, in Exodus chapter 3, the Lord appears to Moses. He wants to send Moses to deliver what? To deliver what? Come on, stay focused. He wants to send Moses to do what? To deliver the children of Israel. So they have this dialogue where Moses is scared and said, I'm what? A stammerer. I cannot speak. You remember that? So let's pick it up from there. Exodus chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Let's start from 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he comes forth to meet thee. And when he sees thee, he will be glad in his heart. Verse 15. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. Who shall put words in his mouth? Read. Who shall put words in his mouth? Who? Who? So Moses shall put words in whose mouth? Wonderful. Shall put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth. That is God. and will teach you what you shall. Verse 16 together. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be. Proper English. The mouthpiece of Moses is Aaron, and the mouthpiece of God is Moses. So, God puts his words in Moses. Moses puts his words in. So Aaron shall speak in Moses' stead. Ask me why. You ask. Chapter 7. God is going to send Moses before Pharaoh. Now, if you know the history, Pharaoh considered himself a god. Right? Pharaoh considered himself a god. So look at this. Exodus 7:1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Aaron is whose prophet? Because Moses is a god to Pharaoh. Now, this is why it happens like that. Now, in history, again, this is why you go back in that day. These kings considered themselves gods. And so the gods will not talk directly to men. So they would use a man to speak for them. And that man was the Nabai, the prophet. So remember, Pharaoh had his magicians, the people who would speak to him. So those are his prophets. So God also says, nah, Pharaoh is a small boy. I cannot speak directly to Pharaoh. In other words, God has conferred his authority in Moses. So he said, Moses, you shall be like God to Pharaoh. When you go there, don't even reduce yourself to the level of Pharaoh as a man. Get this Aaron to be your prophet. So the prophet Aaron is now speaking and representing Moses before Pharaoh. Because Moses is God to Pharaoh. So God is not dealing with Pharaoh like their mates. Moses. That's why Moses had his angel. And when it is time to talk, he sends there what? So a prophet speaks the word of God. Eh? Now, remember also in Deuteronomy that the prophet was to teach and preach. But he's teaching and preaching a message of God. To listen now. So, a prophet is a spokesperson of a deity. Huh? So the prophets of God will be spokes people of God. Right? Righty. What shall they speak for God? So, now, notice this. Remember, who is the prophet? Abel, the first prophet, right? What was characteristic about Abel? In Hebrews chapter 12, he said that this blood that speaketh better things than Abel. Now, the than there in the original language is actually the word from. He was saying the blood of the new covenant speaketh better things from Abel. That's why he says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So, Abel had a ministry of teaching the faith and justification of God. So Cain, who is of his father the devil, John 8:40 thereabout. Cain is representative of the persecutors of the gospel who kill God's messengers. So Cain kills Abel, not because of vegetables, even though God loves meat. Say amen. Hey, ribs. So what happens? Abel is like a preacher of righteousness. The writer of Hebrews is telling us this. is a preacher of faith. The one who does not believe, the writer of John calls him of the wicked one. Why is he wicked? Because he killed his brother. Why did he kill his brother? Because his works were evil. 1 John chapter something, verse 12. So Abel killed his brother because of unbelief. Cain. So they persecuted Abel. That's why what I read to you in Luke chapter 11, when Jesus is talking about the prophets he sent and God sent and the righteous men, he talks about Abel. And he said they will be persecuted and killed. So Abel is a prophet. Question. Why were prophets of the Old Testament seers? Simple. They were seers and they spoke about things in the future because the promise and the message they were speaking about was to come. Remember, they are prophesying about the seed of Abraham that shall come. They are prophesying about a Jesus who shall come and what? Restore and bring about another Exodus. So, they will be speaking prophetically. So, Joel will stand up and say, it shall come to pass after those days that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men and your old men, they shall see visions upon the man and maid servants. I'll pour out my spirit in those days. As a prophet, he's speaking that in the future, but it is still in his message. Do you remember that the dispensation of prophets had prophets as the ministers of God? It's as if there were no preachers. If it was the time of Jeremiah, it seemed as if it's only Jeremiah who was operating as a prophet. But Jeremiah is actually a teacher of God's word. It's just that in the dispensation he is, the message and the gospel he's preaching is yet to be fulfilled. So he will speak a lot of things to come in the future. Isaiah 53. This is why Isaiah 53 is like that. He's preaching a message of salvation and crucifixion. But the one he's talking about is not yet crucified. He's not yet even there. So we'll speak about it in the future. Now, when you come to the New Testament, the word of choice is apostle. Why is the word of choice apostle in the early church? Again, not because of anything significant or big. Apostle is apostello. It means sent one. Now, the apostello, the sent one, is now also going to say the kingdom has now come. So, when Peter stands up to explain what happened on the day of Pentecost, he quotes the prophet, but he teaches the fulfillment of the prophet. Then he teaches it as the gospel, and then he will go to preach it around as something accomplished. It is significant that the last prophet of the Old Testament is John the Baptist. He's the last person to say he is coming, but he's here. So he will not just function by word of knowledge or word of wisdom. He also functions by word of knowledge. And he will say, the one whom you see the Spirit descending and remain, he shall be the one who shall baptize with the Holy Ghost. So when the one that is baptized with the Holy Ghost, he's the fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus. That's why when Jesus was teaching in Luke 24, he says, all things which were written in law of Moses and in the prophets must be fulfilled. The word is plero. They come to an end. They find their accomplishment. This. There is a promise of God in Abraham. When Abraham lives, that promise is going to be spoken about as coming in the future, as a prophecy. So, when it comes in the future, it is a fulfillment of that prophecy. So, because it is a fulfillment, it finds fulfillment in this person called Jesus. I'm boring you. You want to lift chairs. Chitwai. I'm trying to help you make the Bible make sense. So that you don't just be reading like you have biguna. I don't know now why I said that one. But not big Buddha is like scattered here, eh?
Okay.
Missing. So I've never had Biguna. I've never been in boarding school. As in the Pios. Stolen here. So some of us, you can have an understanding of the Bible which is like that. You don't see this string called Logos. If you don't see that string called Logos, you're going to open Proverbs and you start to going after people's wives. Okay. Not like that, but you are going to just stop on Proverbs 31, a woman who does what? But that same Proverbs also has a purpose. It's not to reveal a woman. It's not so that you read one proverb a day. One proverb a day keeps the doctor away. What about for months which have 28 days? Because it all makes sense. And even the sense in the book of Proverbs is in the first few verses. Now, many people teach money, what from the book of Proverbs. But we have missed those first few verses, what they talk about. He was talking about in a world which has equity, in a world which has justice, A, B, C, D. Let's be honest. Train up a child in the way that they should go, so that when they grow up, they will not depart from it. Who of you is in the way your parents trained you up? Who? Who is here and the way you are in is the way your parents trained you? They wanted you to be a priest. You were supposed to be a musoso solo dot. Now, you're speaking in tongues in the whole house. So you did not stay in the way you were what? So what would that proverb mean? Next seminar. Season 2. Where did I come to this? So, the prophet is a preacher and a teacher of God's word. If you don't believe me, primarily is that. Now, do they see? Yes. But definitely. And in fact, in the New Testament, because the capacity to see is in the Holy Spirit, everyone who has the Spirit of God can see. That's why prophecy is among the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Are they 9? Is among the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are gifts in the Spirit. So everyone here with the Spirit of God can prophesy. Everyone here with the Spirit of God can prophesy. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 13 verse 1. Because some of us think that the mark of a prophet is the seeing. And many people have been taken for a ride because of this. But also let me also say this. So you allow me to say it. There are people. You see, where the gospel is taught well, you don't go there. In fact, you can even recommend. You say, which preacher is that? Andrew Mack. That guy can teach. You are recommending. You go somewhere else so that they talk on you. The way some of you look for men of God, you look for men of God like they are mediums. Sumbakati mpulida, njagala kola forex trading, mukama akulaga cha. Sumba, njagala kusina wala bana. And then you treat men of God like they are herbalists. To just be throwing out for you. Gwako gwenda ba inechi wala ata. Tagawa sente na ye. But this is my problem. My problem may not be that you go. It's okay. It's because of what you know, how you're taught. My problem is when they do you. That's the word we use. When they do you, they eat your money. And some of you deserve it. So if you come to us crying, the other pastor, stop. I say, I was discipling you. I got you filled with the Holy Ghost. I started teaching you. You went. Now you have come back, prodigal. I first growth. I say sorry. But you know, the word of I'll laugh in your absence. This is my problem. When they lie to people and they rob them, do you know who they blame now? God. Nzabasumba. Don't you mean Zabasumba Sagara? Abasumba bameka bomanyi. Let's just stop this thing. If you were played, you accept it. I am recovering. Don't blame it on the whole church. Don't even join people to say abalokole, abawa. You have been here from morning. Has anyone robbed you? Has anyone fleeced you? Now, why would you go and join people who say pastors are fake? The ones you have seen here, are they fake? I can name for you 20 good pastors, just offhand. One time I found a guy was asking, pastors, asked him, how many pastors do you know? Just because you hear one story in the tabloid of a pastor, I asked him, how many do you know? Name for me 4 pastors in Intinda. He said, Bashimba. I said, how many do you know? You are here, do you know me? Just shut up with all your generalization. You know, let me tell you, some of these unbelievers, you need to squeeze them. So this is the problem we have, and allow me to say this. Some of us, when you hear people attacking a church, which is not your church, you help them. Especially sometimes because you're jealous, they have crowds, they have money. You stand with them, hey. What you don't know, they don't attack pastors. Mm-mm. They attack the whole faith. The whole born agains. If you want to know how people hate born agains, you just walk out in evangelism. There are people who have closed their hearts to God because of what they heard a certain man of God did. Some people don't even have first-hand information. Haven't you ever found someone like that? And the person who has his deliverance is a preacher. So, because people are seeking, we call them prophets, you just want to know. Man of God, tell me. At least some people, even when they tell you, you want to hear from another person. Of course, you will tell me God is going to. You go to one where you first consult with 100K. Are there 100K? I think is minimum. Yeah, but, prophetic is several. Don't. I told pastor to turn the which going to yes. No, our pastor is very prophetic. Hey, I'm kidding. For people, when a man of God is available, they think he's not valuable. We like these curse words. That man of God is rare. So some preachers deliberately hide from the floor to raise value. Yeah, I'm kidding.
My father would say, the same word you say. Cancel it. So I've not been around, I have been in Sierra Leone. So,
by the time you see him, it's like you've seen God. So your heart is open to receive. Amen. It is also open to accept instructions. You come and ask me for advice. Then I hear you have also gone to another pastor friend of mine to ask for the same advice. Like that. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Let's read together. How do you know a prophet of God? Simple.
It's not by money. Don't leave those things alone. You know, there can be a system which is created in people to just reject those who are doing well. To always think they are doing something wrong. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, whereof he spake unto this saying. The sign and wonder comes to pass, right? Then he says unto you, let us go after other gods, which you have not known. Let us serve them. Next. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proves you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Simple English. If there is a prophet who is accurate, because sometimes people use accuracy to give Ndaba Bukomansimbi. That's why I come from man of God. That's why I come from man of God. Can I go deeper? Can I go deeper? Let me go back. You're not ready for prophecy. Can I prophesy? Can I go deeper? I'm in Bukoma Simbi. I'm seeing a garden. I don't know if there are people in Bukoma Simbi without gardens. Garden. What does garden mean to you? In Nimiro. People shout. Now the problem is this. Because the levels of discernment are so little, because there are people who are doing that and it is right. But there are people doing it with another spirit. So this is why you develop discernment. You don't follow the sign. Because he says, if he's accurate, but tells you to go after other gods, he's a false prophet. Or, in other words, he is accurate, but is not teaching the gospel. He's a false prophet. So now, accuracy in the prophetic is not the proof of inspiration. I have an example in the New Testament. Just because you knew my name, you knew where I come from. And because sometimes this is what the problem is. Because a man does not know the word, many times they don't know how to interpret the spiritual information they get. You can find facts about people, right? Can I talk about this for a while? For instance, a man can say, I see you with a lady, ABCD, she's like this. Now, I was telling someone, you can see a horn. You know what a horn is? A horn of a, is that a cow or a bull? Which one has? Bihogo, eh? Now, you can see by inspiration a horn, because many times when you interpret, prophetic information is interpreted, you're seeing pictures, words, parts, and so on and so forth. So it's up to your spiritual intelligence to put things together. Unless someone is really, really strong in those gifts that they can see very clearly, and that can also happen. And like they are seeing like a stream. But most times you are going to see, so you have to make sense. So sometimes when you come in a meeting, there is a part here, there is a part here, there is a part here, then you interpret the whole. And you said, like what pastor is saying, I was studying this, so the Lord spoke to me. So I'm putting everything together, and this is what he's saying, right? Now, a person can see a horn. Two prophets can see a horn. One prophet can say, this means someone is bewitching you, amayembe, because which doctors have what? Horns. Another one can see it as an anointing horn. Because King David was anointed from a horn. So which one is which? The message.
The message can be proof of inspiration, or the message is proof of inspiration. So, more often than not, look at the message of the prophet. There are prophets who have never heard mentioning salvation through faith in Christ, but they are accurate. Now, there's something called the spirit of divination. It also sees. Look at me. The supernatural is not exclusive to Christianity. Christians are not the only people who do supernatural things. How many of you have ever seen magicians? I mean real ones. You see magic. Ngamba magic. The magic. The real one. Where a woman disappears, who was there? I'm not saying dikura. That one is a comedian. Have you ever seen a guy walking on air? Have you ever seen someone hold up a person like this, then take out all the chairs and they remain levitating? I have. That is, I don't know, that is supernatural. I don't know about you, but that is supernatural. Otherwise, you do it. Am I right? Isn't that supernatural? It is not natural, in other words. So what if you say, Labakatonda! And because that's how some of us react. When we see anything supernatural, we think it is God. And interestingly, sometimes, people who also believe in that other power, they also don't believe God can do it. Now, God will not levitate a person without any reason. For what? So, like I told you earlier, all the miracles of Jesus had a purpose. And John said, he wrote these miracles so that you may believe. So they are very, very specific. Amen. In Acts chapter, let's read this story. Acts chapter what now? I didn't write it. It should be 16. The girl with the spirit of divination. 16:16, yeah, I remember. Now let's read this. Paul was in Macedonia teaching the gospel, right? And there was this damsel, which verse am I? 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel. Now, Luke is writing with foresight. At the time when the damsel came, Paul did not know that she was possessed. Right? So this is what is happening. A certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Verse 17, the same followed Paul and us. Now if she's following, you say, we have a disciple. Right? Because she's what? Then what happened? Where am I? Then she cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show us the way unto salvation. Isn't that true? Yeah. Isn't that good? Yeah. Won't you like to go somewhere and say, man of God! It's okay, don't tell. It's nothing. No, the preacher is acting humble. This man has come to show us the salvation. I mean, you don't even need flyers. So she kept following them and announcing, these men have come to show us the way of salvation. Now look at this. In the next verse, she did this for very many days, and Paul was being grieved, turned aside and said to the spirit. Now, that grieving is a spirit emotion. You know that thing where you say, There's something not right about this person. How many people have had something like that? It's a grieving. Or sometimes, maybe you are in a car and the guy is taking you, you say, or you even say, I felt, you know when they're about to rob you, eh? You say, I felt like some, but because you have not trained yourself to respond to the leading of the Spirit, you continue to the slaughterhouse. And he rebuked the spirit. Question. How many of us would have noticed that lady was functioning by the spirit of divination and not the spirit of God? But she was accurate. So accuracy is not proof of inspiration. The gospel is proof of inspiration. That's why Jesus says, Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse should be 3. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And no one can say that Jesus is accursed by the Holy Spirit. So, no one with the Holy Spirit can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You understood that or you missed me? No one can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy. And no one can say that Jesus is cast by the Spirit. So you have capacity in you to sense. So when you say prophet, in fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when he's talking about prophesy, do you have amplified? Just show them what he meant by prophesying. Should be verse 2, 3, or 4. Next, speaker's mysteries. Next line. Get that in amplified. He that prophesies. Who is that? He that prophesies. Next week. He that prophesies. You don't have amplified? The one that prophesies, who does what? Interprets the divine will and purpose inspired and purpose in inspired preaching. So what is prophesying? You read, what is prophesying? So am I prophesying? Am I a prophet? Can I start saying prophet? Is prophet. And that's why Paul continued to say, when a woman prophesies with her head, she dishonors. What was the prophecy if she's sharing, if she's preaching? What if she comes and says, and no. Again, because these words had their meaning before we gave them our meanings. Now again, I've said, there are people who massively operate in revelation gifts. And more often than not, we call them prophets. There's no problem with that. However, there is no one called by God to just be telling people the future. What would be another word for kulagula in Uganda? Because if you say prophesy is kulagula, then you're making this word be about only speaking about. You don't believe me? Let's go to Ephesians 4:11. Pastor, interestingly, I've not talked about the New Testament and the Old Testament, and time is done. So I'm just going to stop. So, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I can't start it to stop it on the way. I'll just give a summary. Now, let's start from 10. A prophet. What about an apostle? Who is an apostle? So you see, you find people, they don't want to be called pastors. Because they feel pastoring, the pastor gift is not trending.
Pastor Anawe, Nagambi njagala prophet. Yaula, Unupasita. And some people say their names seriously, they add it. So what's your name? My name is Prophet Paul Katerig. So I ask for your name, not your title. No. I am prophet. Sometimes you introduce an apostle as a pastor, Nasoka Natu surface. Why are you downgrading my call? God told me in 1922 that I'll be an apostle to the nations. I'm an apostle. It's not the same thing. The pastor is for a church. An apostle is for the nations. Ate wetu erimba, then we give ourselves the callings. What you call callings actually functions. Like I said, apostole means sent one. So if it is an evangelist who is sent, he's an apostle. Paul told Timothy, who was a pastor, to do the work of an evangelist. But he also told him to teach all the things he had taught him. And he also told him to provide oversight, to be a pastor. So what does he say? God gave me all the fivefold. I was on the mountain. God told me I'm not just one. I am all the five. I said, oh, sir. Start to give us some. See. Even if Angel Gabriel, Michael, Jesus, and the 12 elders came in your room, and they called you an apostle, and you are not doing any ministry, you are not an apostle. These are responsibilities. Tata yabana abana. Now you can receive a prophecy that you will be a father. You will come as I'm a father. They will ask, how many children do you have? No, God told me I'll have no marital status, single. You're a father? Yes. Where? In the spirit. You know, sometimes it's very interesting to find a person when he's loud in his ignorance. Like it's on loudspeaker. And they are bullying everyone. Because it's okay not to know. But there are people who don't know, but they also bully everyone in the ignorance. No. An apostle, we just establish and then we leave. You leave for who? Now you find someone pastoring saying, I don't teach. I'm not a teacher. God didn't call me to teach. He called me to pastor. So what are you pastoring? A pastor is a shepherd. He feeds the sheep. What are you feeding? No, you have this ridiculous analogy. I don't know who brought it. Of fivefold. Anybody ever seen this analogy? The psalm is the apostle. The apostle is the strong one. It is the fun. It's where you put and rotate. This one's called what? Which finger is this one called? No. What is it called? Index? The index finger is the prophet because the prophet will point. So you over there. I see yesterday you bathed with geisha. Man of God, how did you know? No kava. The prophet points. This third finger is the evangelist. It's the long finger. It goes out. A finger that goes out. And then the ring finger is the pastor. He's married to the church. He will love the church. He will comfort them. He will be with them. He visits. So they tell you to go and do follow up. You say, no. Pastor, level. I'm not married to the church. The pastor will follow up. Then the last one is the small one. The index finger. The index finger is a small one. It can enter the ear and clean out all the chaff. That is the teacher. The teacher will intricately go into the scriptures, open everywhere so that you clean out.
It's a lie. Let's read that Ephesians 4. Let's read. He ascended, he descended. And verse 11, he gave some. Now these are what we call the fivefold, right? He gave some. Now, not individuals, but individual gifts. Not people, but... So in the gifts, there are apostles. There are prophets. There. So what is the purpose of all those gifts? Next verse. What do they do? For the prophet to speak the future? For? What do? They all perfect. Every ministry gift is a teaching gift. Because Jesus did not expect anyone to stand before his people and not teach them. Matthew 28:20. Go. How do you make disciples? By teaching. As long as you stand in his stead to make disciples, you are teaching. Now you can go ahead and pick any of a fivefold. After you have picked, you do what? You teach. Have you heard? It's okay. You can leave today and say I'm an evangelist. After you've picked, you do what? You do evangelism. You get people born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and then you teach them. Hallelujah.